Hey, what's going on? This is the Educated Guest Podcast. I'm Justin, your host. If this is your first time joining, I just want to say thank you and welcome. You know, if you decided to click on this and you feel like this is worth your time, then I'm indebted to you. You know, I am responsible for making the next 15 to 20, 25 minutes of your time valuable and worthwhile and informative, and making you feel more energized after you listen to this than you were before you started. So what does that mean? Like, what are you looking for? Like, if you click this, then you were looking for something. And it's kind of on me and it's on us to know what it is you might be looking for. So we have three ideas that we've sort of been using as the pillars for how we teach, how we convey information, how we deliver information over the past 2 years. And over 25,000 people across the world have really enjoyed this framework. And we're always looking to tweak it, always looking to get better. But the basic premise is around this idea of transformational education, particularly as it relates to art and design. There are a couple of things that we believe in. We believe that art is not meant to be an industry. Instead, it's meant to be a practice. It's not meant to be a noun, it's meant to be a verb. And it's meant to be evaluated as something that you can continuously improve upon, but it's also inherently linked to you as a human being and how you operate. So what does that mean? That means that you need to develop a holistic understanding of your mindset. And we help you along that path through our Incomplete Thoughts segment, which most usually comes on Mondays. And we also have an important point to make on the topic of practice, of practical tactics, tools, templates to actually deliver on your career and actually help you along your way as you develop your practice. It's called our work study segment. Last but not least, we have our well-read segment, which is what you're listening to today. Collection of dialogues / monologues related to practice as it stands across multiple disciplines. So whether we interview entrepreneurs in design and art, we interview entrepreneurs in marketing, entrepreneurs in the creative practice. We've done probably 50 to 70 hours of that, you know, those conversations that are available. Or you might hear just directly from me and you'll hear a monologue highlighting a particular artist or designer of interest to us. And I'll give you a couple points to actually give you another rabbit hole to go down to potentially reset your algorithm creatively so that you're not pulling from the same resources all the time. You know, everybody pulls from the same Arena boards, Pinterest boards, ArcDaily, It's Nice That, like everybody pulls from the same things. But it's time that you, and it's time that we reset our algorithm. So obviously I've gone well beyond the intro music, and that's okay because I feel particularly inspired, particularly energized today about the artists that we are covering. But before we get into that, one more thing. If any of this sounds like something you want to do and any of this sounds like a community you want to be a part of, you can join many, many other people across the world, like I mentioned, in subscribing to our email newsletter. If you're into that sort of thing, you know, it's there for you. educated-guest.com, educated-guest.com. The good news is we're not going to bombard you with a bunch of emails, mainly because we don't even like email ourselves. Nothing's worse than waking up to a bunch of random emails and missing something that's actually important. So we're sure to keep it trite, rather concise, trite in a non-negative sense. Trite is actually the wrong word. Anyway, we'll keep it concise. We'll keep it very to the point, very informative, very valuable to you, particularly our monthly recaps where you can keep up with all we're doing. All right, so that was a really long intro. That's probably the longest one I've done in the 2 years and 170 something odd hours of me talking. That said, let's jump into it today. Today we're talking about Alighiero Boetti, and I was particularly interested in this artist's work because I found an element of play and an element of accessibility throughout his work that was particularly interesting for me as I develop my own practice and as I see, you know, sort of other people's self-made paths or, if you will, you know, patchwork-like paths into their career as a practicing artist or designer. So, I mean, if you just Google the name real quickly, you'll learn a lot about the style that I'm talking about. And as we move through sort of the historical and biographical and also psychoanalytical approach to analyzing and sort of reading his work, I think it's very important to understand these things. All right, so Alighiero was a Italian, as you might imagine by the last name Boetti, was an Italian conceptual artist, and he was born in Turin in 1940. But the particularly interesting thing for me is that after moving to Rome in the 70s, a majority of his work was actually made in Afghanistan. A lot of his work was made in the format of embroidery and drawing, and his travels to Afghanistan and Japan actually informed a lot of that. He was very interested in this idea of order and disorder, as well as potentially time wasting. I was first introduced to his work in a book that I'm reading about curation called Ways of Curating. And the author of that book, which we'll cover him in a future lecture, the author of that book sort of posits this idea about Boetti compiling a list of 1,000 of the world's longest rivers, publishing a book in 1977. A very thick book, thousands of pages long, with many references to river sources on each page. And we can get into that in a moment. But the project involved immense geographic and scientific research, but with a preordained ambiguity in its results. The order that it created and the order that was trying to be created through this, you know, catalog of rivers was at the same time disorder. So you can't really catalog rivers across nations and across mainland without recognizing that rivers intersect. So you see the natural contradiction in the work there. It's beautiful to me because it's unforgiving. It's honest. It's brave in the sense that you move towards something. You're not giving up on a pursuit, but you also not acknowledge the limits and the constraints of physics. All right, so what's interesting to me biographically is that Boetti actually abandoned his studies at the business school of the University of Turin to work as an artist. Now, if you have been following along with our lectures, our content, that sort of thing, this community, then you might remember a previous lecture and a previous artist profile on Dimna Gavassalia, where we talked about Dimna's sort of early years before he went to Margilla, before he sort of went to started Vetements and went to Balenciaga. And in that time, you might remember that Dimna also went to business school and wanted to pursue a career in finance, yet he was pulled in the same direction to then transfer and go to art school in Belgium. So you see the similar story play out here with Boetti as he transferred out of the business school at the University of Turin to work as an artist. So already in his early years, he had a profound and wide-ranging theoretical degree of theoretical interest and studied works in a wide array of topics. And some of these might include philosophy, alchemy, esoterics, those sorts of things. And a couple of authors really came to sort of define his catalog of precedents. Some of these might include, you know, Hermann Hesse, Paul Klee. Most people know Paul Klee from his work through the Bauhaus and a lot of his graphic design work through the Bauhaus. And it sort of culminates in this idea of Boetti having an interest in mathematics and music. So you might imagine someone, you know, in modern days, in 2020, you might imagine, you know, someone dropping out of business school and sort of pursuing an artistic career, but also being informed by elements outside of the quote unquote industry of art. And that's a particular like editorial note here is that we always, as part of this community, believe and double down on the idea that art is not meant to be an industry. Art is not a department. Design is not a department. And a friend of mine, John Maeda, actually wrote a beautiful article on this probably 2 or 3 years ago about the advent and the popularity of UX design. Excuse me. About the advent and popularity of UX design and sort of the egoism and generally separatist and nationalist, very probably he didn't say these words exactly, but I'm annotating his work because I loved it that much. But generally the ego kicking in for the designers where he sort of defined this idea of art and design as a department, not necessarily being the solution that we need as a whole. And it moves further into this idea of computational design, as he's, you know, written about in at length in several books, which I encourage you to go buy, or at least, you know, check out and see if it's for you. So that said, what we're getting at with Boetti's career is this idea and this notion of criticality in your work. So as you, if you're a young artist, if you're a young designer, if you're an old designer, old artist, however you choose to define that, it's important that you not forget a lot of your life story. You know, a lot of times people are, you know, fighting against a caricature of themselves, a caricature of something they're not, or they want to be the antithesis of something that, you know, previously defined them. So you might have things like, I'm never wearing a suit again, or I refuse to wear a suit, because you think the suit defines something that, you know, was a previous part of your life, or, you know, something like that. And you see these stories all the time where, you know, those sorts of broad statements come to define an artist, or come to define sort of, you know, the pressing against something or some bureaucratic notion of a thing. But as a result, you don't really wind up anywhere except a caricature, a new caricature. You know, there's this old saying that this is a part of like psychoanalytic, or, you know, if you will, just general behavioral psychology, where most young men, you know, often become a caricature of their father, or it doesn't necessarily have to be a father. They become a caricature of the love they wish they had the most, or they become the beast that they, and by nature of that, they become the very beast that they're looking to avoid being. So I find it very important here in Alighiero's work that he did sort of make this jump from business school into work. So now let's talk about a couple of his pieces and series, which are very interesting to me. His most famous series is his MAPP series, spelled M-A-P-P-E. So this is a very interesting piece, because a very interesting series, rather. So it's a tapestry of maps of the world on which each country is represented by the colors of its flag. A total of 150 of these maps exist in a variety of sizes, dating from 1971 to 1994. The year that Boetti actually passed, unfortunately. And together they form a holistic ideological portrait of the passing of time and geopolitical shifts, while simultaneously postulating, or sort of positing this notion of a united world. So upon initially, if you Google this, if you just sort of look at it on Google Images and sort of scroll through, you might imagine, I would argue, If most people look at this, then I would argue that their reaction would initially be, oh, I could probably do that. I could probably make that. That doesn't seem too hard. The interesting thing is that it is very hard, and the very specific type of embroidery that he was doing required sort of a double stitching. And I'm not, by no means am I an expert in sewing, or, you know, sort of fabric construction or anything like that. But I do recognize that the degree at which someone would have to focus on a level of order while still producing a bit of disorder, you know, it speaks to the courage of the human spirit. This is just a brief sort of annotated take on what the work actually means and what it means to me. So if you look at MAP as a series, there's a couple of things to consider. One, you know, geopolitical nations and geopolitics in general is a moving target. You know, by the time you finish a tapestry, depending on how long it takes you, if somebody were to do it today, you know, particularly in that time in the 70s to the 80s, even into the 90s, like, you know, there was civil war going on in Eastern Europe. Countries were still being defined. Borders were still being defined. Independence was still being sought by, you know, parts of Southeast Asia. Like colonialism was still rampant across many parts of the world. Like you had Russia was called the Soviet Union. Like all these things were still, you know, still moving targets. So to know that you're going to create something that's inevitably going to be wrong sooner rather than later requires an immense amount of courage. And I encourage most people to read into that deeply and understand what that means for them and their work. Because I know that if you are an artist and you have been doing this for a while, there are a lot of questions to be asked about the validity of continuing to do your craft. Why should you wake up? Why does this work need to be made? And the very degree of, you know, Boetti's work is sort of challenging this notion of requirement to make, like the order of things to be made and the relative disorder and the purposelessness, very similar to like a Rothko painting, purposelessness of work that's being made, period. So it asks difficult questions about how we think about required work, how we think about value, how we think about purpose and relative purposelessness. So as you look through his work, and I won't go too deeply into his other work, I've mentioned a couple more that are worth checking out. In particular, the piece, you know, the book regarding the catalog of rivers, I think is worth checking out. Lampada Annual, I believe, is actually something different. So Lampada Annuale, I believe, is probably the Italian way to pronounce that. So it's actually another work where a single outsized light bulb in a mirror-lined wooden box randomly switches itself on and off for 11 seconds each year. So this is so interesting to me because it's very, like, metaphysical in the sense of what does it mean to exist, very philosophical about sort of, like, if a tree falls in the forest and did it make, and no one was there to hear it, did it make it sound? Those sorts of tough questions, but it's summarized in a very simplistic way where everyone can access this sort of piece and this sort of viewership, because the likelihood of a viewer being present at the moment of illumination is very, very, you know, slim to none. It's very, very slim to none. So I think it asks very tough questions and very legitimate questions about the value of making things and not knowing their, and no one really knowing that they were made. These sorts of questions are worth asking, worth answering. And I really, really encourage you to dig deeper into the work of Boetti, figure out what you can pull from his work, how you might be inspired. How did he decide to sort of create these things and produce these catalogs and do these things that question notions of time, of curatorial value, of process, of order, of disorder? These sorts of things are very, very, very important as we move into a time where arguably technological advancement will pull us into a decade or several decades and probably the rest of our lives in which we will increasingly be, you know, called upon to produce creativity as the main human value, especially given the rate at which neural networks are being created, artificial intelligence, the democratization of that, and sort of what that means for us as a society and as the human race. So these sorts of questions are 40, 50 years later, ever present, ever important, and extremely poignant as we move through move through time. So that's all I have for today. Hopefully this has been engaging. Hopefully this has been informative for you. And I highly encourage you to dig deeper, like I said, into MAP and as well as Manifesto, some other works. I mentioned Lempada and Uale, those sorts of things. And if I'm pronouncing that incorrectly, do us a favor, just shoot an email to us and just give us some more information about how to pronounce these things, especially if you are Italian and don't want to be negligent in that way. So just shoot us an email and we will be sure to get these things corrected and justified. So that said, one more thing, that's all for today. One more thing though, if you found value in any of this, you can subscribe to our email newsletter, educated-guest.com, educated-guest.com. Also, if you found value in this, go ahead and screenshot, timestamp it, share with a friend, share on Instagram, and just tag us at educated_guests. And if you find, you know, if it seems like something that you want to do, then you can reach out to us and just highlight one of these works that's particularly inspiring to you, and we will feature you and talk about it publicly. So thanks so much. Talk again soon. Peace.